¡Órale!
¡Órale!
Bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FFP Podcast. I'm Jorge Georgie Martin, and I'm joined by my primos, Ricky Torres and Hector Reyes.
What's up, guys?
Hey, it was fun looking at the top 10 QBs, but if possible, we've got even greater disparities and maybe even a few verbal pleitos to be had today. But first, I was reading Jake Lazor's mailbag in The Athletic. I always like his insight and like his direct approach. There's no way he's as direct as a slap to the face sometimes. And one of the questions asked of him was how fantasy football had changed the way people follow and enjoy the NFL. He said that he knew something big was going on about 15 to 20 years ago when his father kept asking him questions, start sit questions, peppering him all the time. Yeah. He would even ask Jay if he would call like coaches or players to find out if they were going to be playing that weekend. One time he even strong armed Jay into calling Tiki Barber the night before a game to find out if he was starting or not. And Tiki Barber had a very interesting way of telling him that, yes, he was going to be starting. But when he really knew that fantasy football had arrived, Jay was hired to host a draft party at, of all places, and I'm quoting Jay himself, the Playboy freaking mansion.
There you go.
So I don't know. Ricky, you're in charge of hosting the draft this year. Any chance?
No, negative.
pretty please.
I don't even know if it's anything like it used to be anymore.
Maybe it is
on Airbnb.
You never know. I'll let you guys find out. But fantasy football has become quite important to football fans worldwide. And that's why we're here to have some fun, drop mucho knowledge on you guys. And seriously, you guys, have you seen fantasy football grow in your worlds?
Well, for me, I think I mentioned before that, starting out 30 years ago, rotisserie baseball, eraser, paper, catching stats that way, and up to now where it's, I'm preparing for the fantasy draft last year, and it's, XM Radio has a fantasy channel now, just dedicated to fantasy sports, and show after show after show. I listened for probably 5 hours at one point, podcast after podcast, everyone's giving their advice, top 10s and top 20s, and which quarterbacks are underrated and overvalued, and who to pick up deep and value pick. So it's become just so huge. You can get your information absolutely everywhere. Social media, you can go to Twitter, you can go to your Facebook, you can go to your Instagram, and seemingly every expert out there is now offering a subscription service. Give me, $9.99 a month, and we'll give you the top picks every week, that kind of thing. So it's become such a big money thing.
Yeah, it's like its own Marvel network.
Right. NFL stadiums are catering to it now. It's like, when you come to our stadium, fill up our seats, and we'll make it, we'll make it fantasy friendly for you. So it's become so huge. It's great. I love it.
It's almost like you're expected, if you know football, to be playing fantasy football. But the number one thing I loved about it was, A, when I first started, it was with all my family members as a way to keep us together. But as the years went on, doing it with friends and keeping close with friends, even though they move on along. So other than, how big of a market it's become, I feel like it's actually helped bring people together and keep us together, help keep the trash talk going, keep up those group messages. So I love what it's become. I love how it's bringing people together.
Sure.
Yeah, and I'm excited to see how it keeps growing. Obviously, our Familia community is going to be growing over time, but really, how it's going to grow and change. I mean, I can remember I talked about it last week how points were really only scored with touchdowns and kicker points. Now it's like you find every little thing. And actually, I think
I hate the kicker.
Don't get me started on kickers. That's a rabbit hole.
That's a whole podcast. That's a whole episode. Kickers or no,
Yes. Yes or no on kickers. Hey, we may go into that during the summer. So
for sure. Worthy of discussion.
But, you know, Glazer, I love him. He's such a character. He's loud. Yes, he's bombastic. The thing is, he's truthful and he's direct. I mean, he's awesome. And he's almost like a pro wrestler, which kind of which kind of brought up something that we were having on our Familia text loop a few days ago. Where we were throwing out some memories of wrestling days gone by and pro wrestling days, not our own. and it just brought me back. It brought me back to being a kid watching Lucha Libre on Channel 34 with Pop and, you know, Mil Máscaras, Chavo Guerrero were the guy, were the stars at the time. Andre the Giant. I remember Andre the Giant on Channel 34, Rowdy Piper, both of them before they exploded in the 80s. I mean, they were becoming stars. And then of course, the 80s came out and we all got into what was then the WWF, now WWE. And heck, we had quite a memory going out to see the Brutus Beefcake take on Hulk Hogan at the sports arena.
Yes. As a 12-year-old, that was the epitome at that moment of sports. You know, I was in complete awe walking into the sports arena, actually being in the same building as Hulk Hogan. Yes, I was a Hulkamaniac. Ate my breakfast, took my vitamins, brother. You know, because he said to do it. I always remember I bought at the sports arena that night. I bought a Hulkamaniac headband, and I cherished that thing. And I don't know what happened to it, but for the longest time, that was like my prized possession, my Hulkamaniac headband. And that was such a good time driving to the sports arena. We ended up parking in some guy's front yard for like $10 and, you know, walk into the sports arena and just, it was just amazing just to see all those guys, you know, your boyhood heroes live and in person, you know, and watching those guys on TV. I think it was Channel 9, you know, Tito Santana, Junkyard Dog, you know, Superfly Jimmy Snuka, just awesome, you know, going back to the childhood and, you know, just reminiscing over those wrestling days. It's just fun stuff.
Yeah, Kyle, my brother, would also talk about how we'd have the different moves that we would do on each other. Oh, I'll, you know, figure four leg lock or, oh, God.
That was painful. That was real. And that really hurt. That was not fake. Whoever calls it fake, that was not a fake move. That hurt.
And it was so funny. I still also remember one of the early scary moments of my driving years, because I think I was only like 17 or 18. I needed gas after one of those times. And I remember a homeless guy coming up and asking me for money. And immediately I went into Spanish mode. I said, ¿Qué? No hablo inglés. No hablo inglés. And all he did was hold up like a penny. And I just kept shaking my head and just said, no hablo inglés. No hablo inglés.
Take it from him and say, gracias, señor.
I should have done that. I should have done that and gotten in the car and taken off. But just some incredible memories. And Ricky, I know you still follow wrestling. What are some of your favorite?
Last year I went to the Royal Rumble. So my buddy took me because I took him to the Charger games. So I had to start getting into it. And oh my goodness, that is just one whole crazy world. but you know what? The wrestlers who I found myself drawn to were the Latino ones, like Rey Mysterio or Andrade, and he has a little girl that follows him, Zelina Vega, who's so hot. But I mean, they're just so quick. They prove to you that it not only is it a show, but you got to be acrobatic, you got to be strong, and these guys proved it. And they take a good punch. So I mean, if you were to watch it nowadays, those are the guys I would say, hey, go check them out, definitely. And heck, you're saying it was $10 to go to it? Oh my
It was cheap. I know the tickets were cheap.
$150 for us.
This was 84, 85. I remember driving home. We were listening to Lisa and the Cult Jam. I was on the radio, so I know it was, you know, somewhere around 84, 85 for sure. So yeah, the prices definitely different back then.
They're Super Bowl prices now. Yeah. Oh man, definitely. And then on top of it, I think right around the same day that we had that text loop going, my sister Dora, who lives in the East Coast, she posted on Facebook and did a direct message to me where it was a picture of Randy Macho Man Savage. And it had the tagline, share this photo if you ever spoke in my voice. So
Macho Man Randy Savage.
Oh, there's no more Hulkamania running wild, just some macho madness.
Macho man.
You guys sound ridiculous.
Oh, goodness. Classic. Gotta love it. Hey, RIP Macho Man. Yes, fly off the top rope forever, big guy. So, hey, no cheese mid during a slow week in the NFL. So we thought we'd jump right back into our QB ratings. These will spark some good debate because this position is so deep and several of these players could end up with in the top 10 and we wouldn't even blink an eye. So there might be, you know, we'll talk about one or two young players who are outside of the top 20 who might make an impact later on. So, but first off, there's no one making more noise this offseason than TB12 himself. Yep. Ricky, you like him the most of all of us.
Oh, my goodness. It makes my mouth water. And I hate Tom Brady. But look at what Jameis Winston did last year. He got 5,100 yards, 33 touchdowns, which was only three behind Lamar Jackson. So you bring an even way more talented quarterback into the situation. It's TB all day. Touchdown bliss.
There you go. I like Tom Brady, too. I think his weapons are just going to be, or they already are, off the charts. Godwin, Mike Evans, Gronkowski, and O.J. Howard. The guy is stacked. It reminds us, you know, Gronkowski and O.J. Howard is like, you know, Gronkowski, Aaron Hernandez. You give Tom Brady a couple of tight ends to run amok on the field, and he's going to find them. So, yeah, I don't disagree. I think Tom Brady's going to have a solid year this year.
That name doesn't come up a lot in football talks anymore, Aaron.
Not much.
A rare football sighting.
There you go, Aaron Hernandez.
But a lot of hope for Tom Brady, right, Georgie?
Oh, I think he's going to have a great season. I wouldn't be surprised if he finished in the top 10. I had him outside, but it was more because of the guys in front of him. But obviously, I mean, look at his numbers last year, 4,057 yards and 24 TDs. I think that's his floor. I think his ceiling, he could be 4,500 plus yards, maybe 30 TDs.
5,500.
Oh,
watch it.
He'll be going after Peyton Manning's record, right?
Yeah, look at what he's got. He's got wide receivers galore. As long as they can put a little bit of a line in front of him, this guy's going to be dangerous.
Yeah, hopefully he gets a little bit of a running game. And, you know, heck, you mentioned Gronkowski. You know, I've been a big fan of his forever. I love his Soy Fiesta. And, you know, Soy Fiesta. So I'm adopting him as an honorary Mexican as a result of that. So Latinos all across the country. It's okay to root for, Gronk because. So it's going to. I think it's going to be a fun season. They're going to be on TV a lot. It's going to be. Brady
a lot
is.
Of matchups.
Yeah, and the one thing to keep an eye on, he's going to be in some good weather at the end of the season, which his numbers usually went down at the end. So you know, he's either going to be in Tampa or a couple of the domes. So I think he's looking good for this year. Another guy that hopefully is looking good for this year from a health standpoint, Matthew Stafford.
Yep.
Heck, what do you think? What are you thinking?
My concern with Stafford is the back injury, you know, and anytime a thrower has a back injury, I'm concerned. And only because we've heard so much about it here being in LA, you know, we've heard for years now, Clayton Kershaw's throwing his back out. He's got to go to the minors and rehab, and Kershaw just hasn't really been the same since he first messed up his back. And now Stafford has got that back injury. And obviously these two guys grew up together, you know, Stafford and Kershaw. So I'm reminded, you know, of Kershaw when I think of Stafford. So I'm a little hesitant. Obviously, if he can get back healthy again, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. I would love to see Stafford blow up again. I've had him on my teams in the past. He's done well for me before. I would love to see him. But as long as he can stay healthy and keep that back injury in check, I think he'll have a great season.
And that's the main thing, Hector. You're saying if he stays healthy, he would have gotten 5,000 yards and even pushed for 40 touchdowns last year.
Yeah, exactly.
But that back injury, it's just in every sport, I feel like once you get a back injury, that's it. Lower back injuries are one of the biggest issues for Americans just in general. So it's just one of those things where I know we don't have the science to make this injury be something that we cure real quick and his back will be back at 100%. It's just not like that. That's why Gronk went out, was because of a back injury. And even Gronk's last couple of years weren't as great. So I love Stafford. He's always been like a showtime player. He makes big plays. But that back is probably why he's outside the top 10.
Agreed.
For me, the thing, I look back at the 8 years before last year, never missed a game. Maybe he played some games that he shouldn't have, but I love that warrior mentality. And there was word that he might have come back if they would have been in the race for the playoffs. So I don't know if he'll be going for 5,000 yards, but I wouldn't be surprised if he's at 4,500 yards plus, maybe even similar numbers to Brady.
Right.
He still can throw it as long as he's healthy. With him is everything hinges on the health, but I wouldn't be surprised. 4,500 yards, 30 plus TDs. He's got Kenny G, Mr. Smooth Jazz. He's still got him out there. Yeah. And, you know, heck, you were talking about the back injuries being contagious with Stafford and Kershaw. Now they've been friends since they were like 7 years old.
Yeah.
I'm convinced it's, you know, that they've been carrying the teams all those times. So that's why their backs have been bad.
That's the cause of the back injury.
Yeah. But they're cool. And actually, if you ever see any of you listeners out there, if you ever see the pictures of the two of them, on any kind of teams when they were little kids, they were actually, they came to the Dodgers through me, and actually through Clayton Kershaw's mom. She just went back to all the pictures, soccer photos, basketball, baseball photos, just you name it. They played every team together. So it's pretty cool. So I'm hoping that Stafford, I hope everybody's healthy. Definitely our cousin Victor, your brother heck.
Yes, Lions fan, big time Lions fan.
He's hoping, so maybe we'll talk him down and so that he could get him in the 10th round or something.
There you
like
go.
That.
There you
help
go.
The commish out.
No, I'll pick him up as my backup before that.
Right. Yeah, if we're picking up QBs in the second round and the first round again, and then we can pick up Matthew Stafford, you know, in the early rounds, mid rounds.
Well, one guy who has had back problems, and but luckily last year he played a full regular season, even though he got knocked out.
Finally,
Carson Wentz. Carson mm-hmm. Wentz. Ricky, what's your outlook on him?
I mean, Wentz looks good. The only problem is I just don't feel like he has the weapons. It's a very young team besides his ancient old wide receivers. And I know Alshon Jeffrey's not super old, but he's super unreliable.
Yep.
And DeSean Jackson, who is super old. I mean, the only thing is that they have Rigor. Maybe Wentz and Rigor can develop something. They still have Ertz, who's a top five tight end no matter what every year. But I don't think that's enough because Miles Sanders, yes, he's good. It's just, I don't know if Wentz is going to be able, he's still going to win games, but I don't know if he's going to be able to be fantasy relevant to start on a team.
Yep. They lost Aguilar and Alshon Jeffrey. I think I've mentioned it before. He's Mr. Soft Tissue Injury. It's a question of, you know, it's not a question of if, it's a soft question of when with Alshon. Soft tissue, whatever that means. You see it on the injury report, soft tissue injury. DeSean Jackson missed a bunch of games last year as well. Like you said, the guy's got a lot of mileage. Jalen Reagor, obviously a rookie. So, you know, if we get to a point in the season where Deshaun's out, Alshon is out, again, I would love to see Carson Wentz have a full, you know, cache of weapons going into the season throughout the entire season, just like you said, George. But I don't really put too much, I don't have too much faith in the idea of him having a healthy receiver corps for the whole season.
And, you know, I know, heck, you banned the word if from any fantasy football
yes.
conversation.
After the season starts, you cannot say if I started this guy, if he only caught it, if he didn't fumble. Can't say if. It's banned from our league, and it should be banned in your league.
And even though there if is the big word with Wentz, if he stays healthy, if his receivers can stay healthy,
right?
It's I mean, really, the only reliable receivers he has are Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert.
Right.
You just don't know. You don't know if the rookie is going to be ready. He could be AJ Brown. He could be Mecole Hardman or N'Keal Harry. You just don't know. So I hope that he's that he's good. He's when he's on, he's excellent. He's also an underrated guy for running the ball. I hope he's healthy. I mean, you know, what's funny is we've got a lot of hopes for health in this second 10.
Yes. That's what you get. That's what you get usually in the second 10 is, yep. You know, quarterbacks that could have been in the top 10, except they probably got
and
hurt.
And it's funny because they're not even running quarterbacks. They're just pocket passers.
Right. And you know, who knows if Carson Wentz will want to run again, you know, if he's hearing, if he's hearing those footsteps, because he ran and he, he blew out his knee on a run, you know, it was just like a whatever run. It was not even like a major play. Just he had the ball, he ran it up the middle, and he got his ACL ripped apart. So, who knows if he'll be if he'll want to even run? We'll see.
Well, he was a loco on that run. I don't know what was going on through his head, man. But I'm hoping for health. Hoping for health for our number 14 quarterback, Big Ben, Ben Roethlisberger.
Yes, the tank. This guy is just a beast. I'm hopeful that he can stay healthy and he's always great to watch.
I think if he comes back healthy, that dude's going to be on fire. He was one of the quarterbacks who can come out with like 5 TDs, 500 yards. Not many guys do that.
Right.
So, I mean, he's 38 coming back from the elbow injury game 2. So, I mean, is he going to be fully healthy? He's 38. Who knows how long it takes? I am not even 38 yet, so I wouldn't even know. But I mean, in 2018, he threw for 5,100 yards and 34 TDs. That's Jameis Winston numbers right there.
Right. Without the picks, right?
Without the third interception.
With half the amount of picks.
Right.
So do we get him in 2018? He's got Juju. Juju, all of a sudden, his stock went super high compared to how he played last year. And they also got the new rookie. So we're hoping, hey, maybe Big Ben can come back. I think he's sneaky. So he's definitely a guy I would want for my second QB, whether I'm on a 2 QB team or just need depth.
The great thing is the head coach, Mike Tomlin, mentioned that his rehab is going well for Big Ben. So that's something. I also, you look at the backup quarterbacks who were horrible last year. They were the only thing that and James Conner being hurt so much. The line was good. The defense is solid. Those are the pieces that kind of set up a quarterback. And if Big Ben is healthy, so again, there's that word if. It's not the season yet, heck.
No, exactly. No, that's what I'm saying. Well, before the season, you can use it. When you're prognosticating, you can use if all day long till the cows come home. But once the season starts, you have to retire that. That's all I'm saying.
Well, Big Ben is gonna be good. I'm really hopeful for him. The game is better when he's good. The game is better when Pittsburgh is good. I mean that fan base is crazy, but still gonna temper the enthusiasm until we see him healthy.
Right.
So you know, again, maybe backup status, second QB in a 2 QB system. If someone's waiting and grabbing him as their first QB. Better grab a backup right away afterward.
Yes.
It would have been better if it was a leg injury or a knee injury, because that guy, he can just, you know, he'll just drop back. He'll just throw darts all over the field. The fact that it was an arm injury, that's what you have to kind of keep an eye on and just make sure that he's healthy. And I think he'll be fine.
And I think, if you draft Ben Roethlisberger as your number one and you need a backup, definitely don't pick the guy who's number 15, who's next. And that's Baker Mayfield. Yeah. I don't know about you guys, but I never trusted him. The hype last year was just way too high. And then throughout the season, I saw more commercials with Baker Mayfield than I saw of him doing positive plays on sports.
Yes.
So it's like, you know what? I'm over him. I believe I have him ranked 25th for me. So I don't know what you guys saw last year, what spark he somewhat drew in that car crash, but
the train wreck.
I don't know. Please.
No,
I
agree with you. I think last year was, you know, solidified the fact that there's something's just not right with Baker Mayfield. He had the weapons: Odell, Jarvis Landry, Nick Chubb, and he all of those weapons. And he just couldn't put it together. And it seemed like every highlight that I watched was he's throwing it too quick. He's not waiting. He's not patient in the pocket. That's what the word is on Baker Mayfield, that he gets nervous, he gets jittery, he's not confident in the pocket, and that is the opposite of what you want in a quarterback on your fantasy team. I don't want a guy that's just throwing the ball away. When you got Jarvis and you got Odell and the guys that can, you know, just get it close to them and they're going to catch it. So something not right there with Baker. I agree. I'm going to hold off. I think I'll take a pass and I'll let somebody else pick him up.
Yeah, I watched him a couple games and he was, it seemed like he was running for his life right from the start. And I don't know if that's him being bailing out on the play a little more quickly than needed.
Right.
You know, again, that kind of echoes what you were talking about. Heck, it's, I look at him and he's got the talent. He doesn't have the height, but he's got the arm and he definitely showed a lot of accuracy in 2018. And those weapons, that's the thing. He's got the weapons, and he's got a good run. He's got two good running backs behind him. Everything should say that this guy is going to be good. I'm going to temper enthusiasm about
him. The dude's got swag, but when he's on the field, he's running scared. He's got no trust in that O-line.
Right.
And he's just, I don't want him. You guys take him.
There you go.
Yeah.
Be my guest, Rick.
Yeah, if you don't trust your line, that there's going to be a lot of problems going on for happening for you, and that's just that's just the beginning of just the big domino effect of bad stuff that's going to happen after that. So I'm going to temper the enthusiasm, but I wouldn't mind having him as my backup and grabbing him, and you know, maybe streaming him in, or maybe if he does blow up in a good way, maybe try and trade him, which we know in our league is tough.
Yeah.
Right. And speaking of guys that I would have liked to trade last year, next up on our list is Jared Goff. I drafted him last year, full confidence. He was my starter. And I just, Jared Goff just killed me last year for the first, I don't know how many weeks of the season. It was just like, he just couldn't get it going for whatever reason. Jared Goff last year, Cooper Kupp was out for a while, but he had Robert Woods there. I also had Robert Woods. You know, you have that, you know, Jared Goff to Robert Woods. I was waiting and waiting and waiting. Next game is the one. I think Robert Woods' first touchdown came in like week 12. Ridiculous. So, yeah.
It's almost as if they were thinking about the Super Bowl the whole year.
Yeah, the hangover. Played. Yeah, the Super Bowl. Yeah, so Goff, I'm staying away from Goff. As fantasy football goes, you know, I think fantasy owners have a very good memory when it comes to players that they've drafted that have done them wrong in the past. So, yeah, my memory is sharp with Jared Goff. And I'm staying away. Whoever wants him can take him. I am not going anywhere near Jared Goff this year.
I'll take him.
Go ahead.
Look, I feel like which year was a fluke, his Super Bowl year or last year? And I just think, you know what? You can buy him super low because of what happened last year.
And that may be. Maybe I'll pick him up low if he's available. But as a starter, no way.
Those are the stocks I like to buy, because then when they do better and you can sell them high, get rid of them and
trade.
Yeah. You know, let them fail somewhere else. But I think Jared Goff still has a chance. He still has Cooper Kupp, who's a monster.
Yes.
So I think, I don't know. I think Jared Goff, they already tip the tables against him, because now he's got less people with no Brandon Cooks, no Todd Gurley. But Todd Gurley and Brandon Cooks also didn't play half the season. So hopefully Jared Goff can do better. But I think he's a high risk, but he's also a higher reward than some of the guys we've already mentioned.
Yeah.
I'm a little optimistic about him, and it's not just because I'm a Ram fan. I look at the way he closed out the season. His last five games, he averaged 328 yards.
Yeah, a little too late for me, right?
Total little too late. Because, yeah, you were out of the playoffs by then. But I wonder if there's some momentum that could come from that. The TDs were down. He went from 32 TDs to 22. I wonder if there's some kind of mid-range, maybe it's like 27, 28. The yards were just about the same as they were the previous year. I'm optimistic because I feel like the Rams changed their offense a little bit. I feel like they changed their offensive line and fixed some holes that were cropping up because of injuries. And then bringing in Tyler Higbee and using him more as a Gronkowski type of tight end, which actually Sean McVay did a lot when he was in Washington. So it's something like we could be seeing an evolution of the Ram offense. Maybe Cam Akers comes in and becomes what Todd Gurley was before. Because remember, let's remember the CJ Anderson games where he just came in and just, you know, came in off the street and he was a stud. So if we get that, maybe some of the Brandon Cooks throws go to Tyler Higbee and get spread around to Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp. It's good. He's young. He's durable. I think, and he's got a great coach coaching him. So he's a guy I'm going to keep an eye on. Maybe in again, second as a backup QB who could become the starter if things break right. You never know. He might be the even odd kind of year like we were talking
like
about with
Breeze.
Like Breeze and Ryan.
Right. Matt Ryan, exactly. Yeah, it's weird.
I got to find a name for that because that stuff is real, man.
That was with Matt Ryan. That's crazy. Yeah, that was kind of nuts.
Well, speaking of Ryan Tannehill, if I would have told you guys that we'd be talking about Ryan Tannehill in the top 20 starting quarterbacks a year ago, what would you have told me?
I would have been like, yeah. That dude, I would always pick up for bye weeks because he's going to be consistent. He's going to be consistently average. But right. Hey, that's perfect. Last year, though, if you look at the numbers, he only played 12 games, but his average per completion or for pass attempt was 9.6 yards. That's more than every other quarterback. Mahomes was at 8.3. Stafford was in second at 8.6. So when the guy passes, he completes them and he gets yards. So I feel like if you're looking for I wouldn't have him as my backup QB, but I would definitely have him if I have a two quarterback league because he's going to consistently get points every week.
Yep.
It might not be the most, but he's at least not going to have like just five or six. This dude's going to at least throw you two touchdowns a game. He had 22 touchdowns in 12 games. So that's almost like doing two. And when you have someone as big as Henry behind him, yeah, I think Tannehill's a steal for people who need two QBs.
Right, and A.J. Brown just blew up last year. I picked him up late off of waivers. I forgot what week it was, but, man, as soon as I picked up A.J. Brown, he's just a touchdown magnet. You know, Tannehill to Brown for their last few weeks of the season was awesome. And I even picked up Tannehill off waivers, or I think someone dropped him.
You're
I picked him up
desperate.
Late. Yeah, right, exactly. And it's funny because so I'll tell you a story, Rick. I don't think I've ever shared this with you before. One of your QBs went down. I forgot who it was. You were like in a desperate situation late in the season, and one of your QBs had like a bye week or something like that. And I saw Tannehill was available on waivers. I only picked him up because I know that you needed a QB.
Yeah, I remember that.
You were
because Mahomes was out.
Right.
And I think like Daniel, all I had to pick was Daniel Jones and he was sucking.
Yes.
I was pissed because I was dominating the whole season.
Yes.
But I had no QB for that one week.
Yes.
All because stupid Hector.
Yes.
Who
didn't
even need a third quarterback.
I picked up
Tannehill.
As my third only again.
Oh my. That was.
Yes. That was. See how upset you are right now? That's what you call strategy. I picked up a third quarterback.
That wasn't strategy. That was strategery.
Strategery, yes. I did not need a third quarterback, but again, part of the strategy of fantasy football is picking up needless people when your opponents need somebody. You know your opponent
that's
is not.
Why
you know,
it feels that much better. Every
yes.
Time
yeah. That's hey. It's you know all's fair in love and war, as they say.
I remember.
So,
I was so
yes. So I picked up Tannehill because I figured you'd probably pick him up. And you know what? And I kept him. And next thing you know, he's throwing bombs to AJ. So I was like, wow, this is cool. You know, Tannehill to AJ Brown for the remainder of the season. That was awesome. And I'm glad I upset you that week. So there's that.
He actually benefited from my favor. I like that.
There you go.
And esas movidas, those are the ones that are sometimes more delicious than even the win itself.
The movie
being
don't
on
need
the
to
other
make?
Side of it, I'm
yes.
like,
And you know, you're just doing it. You pick somebody up off waivers, and you know that your opponent wanted that guy and couldn't get him. And it just feels fantastic. That's all I got.
You know what? Enough with this Tannehill guy. Because you stole him from me, I got stuck with the guy who's next on our list, number 18, Daniel Jones.
Hey.
And so Danny Dimes, as he's known as. Personally, I kind of like the guy. I kind of like seeing Eli Manning being shoved to the bottom and pushed away, because as a Chargers fan, that's what he did to us. But what do you guys think of Daniel Jones? I think he's going to be great, but what do you guys think?
I think he's going to do that second year jump. He's got weapons. He's got Saquon Barkley running behind him, Darius Slayton, Evan Ingram, Sterling Shepard. I mean, he's got some good guys to throw to. With him, it was just the offensive line was not very good last year. I think one of the things that will work in his favor of having a full off season, quote unquote, considering what's going on right now. But I think to really, really digest the system, I think he'll be good. I think he's a guy that could actually jump into the top 10 he throws a beautiful ball. He runs with it a little bit. One of the things that I saw, week 16, championship week, he went for 352 yards and 5 TDs. So if you started him, you were probably winning.
Right. But you probably weren't in the championship if you've been started.
I heard that coming. If he was your guy for the season, you probably weren't going to be at that position to start him.
But now correct me if I'm wrong, he went to college and played with Slayton, right? Sometimes those two are just on fire, and I love to pick up Slayton here or there, because the guy would just get 2 touchdowns, 100 yards, or 10 receptions. So I love that combination. I think you're right, Georgie, with a little bit more practice, a little bit more studying. I think Daniel Jones has the system to get into the top 10. I mean, it's hard to believe he's only in his second year. So I think, he can definitely pass the 3,000 yards he just did in 13 games last year.
And talking about system, you have Jason Garrett, the Jason Garrett system. He's the new offensive coordinator coming in for the Giants, coming over from the Cowboys. And like you said, he does have the weapons. Saquon Barkley now. He's got, Sterling Shepard has been hurt. He's been injured, So I had Sterling Shepard. He has not been on the field that much. He's had some nagging injuries. So I think to your point, Slayton, you got Sterling Shepard, the always consistent Golden Tate. The guy just doesn't drop balls. Evan Ingram at tight end. So yeah, to your point, George, I think the Giants might have something there, coming year. I think Daniel Jones might have a solid year.
Yeah, and we'll see what kind of secondaries he's throwing against. The Cowboys were only okay. The Redskins were not very good. The Eagles weren't very good. So he's get to see each one of them twice a year. So he's a guy after Kyler Murray. Daniel Jones is the guy I'm looking at as making a big second year jump. Maybe a guy we'll talk about a little bit later who's outside of the top 20. One guy who's just consistent and does well, Kirk Cousins, though there might be some red flags with him. His attempts went down dramatically by over 150. He went from 606 attempts in 2018 to 444 last year.
Wow.
I mean, we love to see the ball get slung around, but, what do you guys think of Kirk Cousins?
I think, of course, his attempts are going to go down because of how dominant Cook was. But, I mean, and Kirk Cousins, as great as he was, I still see him as a game manager. Yeah, he can sling it, but if you want to bet on anything, the Vikings are going to run this year. They got rid of Stephon Diggs. They had the rookie, I believe, in Justin Jefferson. So with just Thielen out there, Kyle Rudolph kind of finally did what he was supposed to do last year by making a lot of touchdowns. But Kirk Cousins, he's definitely down there as far as my picks for QB. But he has a high ceiling because he can do all that. Yep. But it doesn't look like the Vikings this offseason have really been trying to get him weapons. They look like they're just trying to give everything to Dalvin.
I don't disagree. I think Dalvin's going to run a lot. Dalvin's he's just a stud. You have Dalvin on your team. He's going to be the bell cow on your team. Yeah, obviously, it's pretty clear why Kirk Cousins' pass attempts went down last year. So, yeah, to your point, Rick, game manager, I think it'll be more of the same this year.
He's like a poor man's Ryan Tannehill. So, which Ryan Tannehill used to be a poor man's anything back in the day. Right. Finally, he's going to get on a team.
Kirk Cousins, he'll be a good backup. He may be a guy to play as streaming, maybe in DFS. He might not be as expensive as other guys. So a guy to keep an eye on. He doesn't throw interceptions. He's accurate. He does have the occasional blow up game. I always love guys who dome quarterbacks when everywhere else the weather's bad. If they can throw in the nice weather, he's the guy to keep an eye on, especially late in the season. So all those things, I like him. I think the thing about him is he's consistent. So he'll be someone to you could rely on. I had to pick him up at one point last year, and I played him a few weeks, and that's what he was. He'll throw 250 yards, one or two touchdowns. He's not going to hurt you. Though actually, I think one week he did throw 300 yards and no TDs, and it did hurt me. So.
Those are the worst.
Oh man. Now our next guy, our last guy on the list, Teddy Bridgewater, had we were all over the place with him. Heck, you had him at number 16. I had him at 23. Ricky, you also had him at number 16. You guys are both more bullish on him than me. Ricky, start us up.
Go for it, Rick.
I'll go for it, even though I know Hector's got so much love, but hold it on. I think when he played for New Orleans, it was just a great situation for him because he had great players all over, all around, with Michael Thomas, great receiver, and you had Kamara. But now he's going to the Panthers. He's still got a fantastic running back in McCaffrey. And his wide receivers, you shouldn't shy from. He's got Curtis Samuel, Robbie Anderson, who's fast. So with a fast running back team, I feel like he has the team for it. I just hope he's not going to just, I don't know. We saw Nick Foles come and get his team out of a hump, and then the next year when he finally got his first team to take hold of, he just fell flat and didn't play. So I want to believe in Teddy Bridgewater because everything stacked up for him perfectly.
Right, right.
But I feel like that's the perfect Shakespeare drama right there, ready to just show me the tragedy.
No, I don't know. I don't see a tragedy coming. I'm a huge fan of Teddy Bridgewater. Ever since he came out of Louisville, you know, I think we forget that he was a Pro Bowl pick. I think it was 2014, 2015. He played in the Pro Bowl. So, you know, Teddy Bridgewater, he's done some great things. He played 2 years, you know, behind Drew Brees, you know, watching Drew Brees, learning from him. And anyone that can spend 2 years learning anything from Drew Brees, you know, that's going to be nothing but good. And he came out. What did he do? Drew Brees went down with a thumb injury. Teddy Bridgewater came in, won 5 games in a row. And look who he's got. He's got DJ Moore. He's got Robbie Anderson, who I loved on the Jets. Robbie Anderson was a beast, I think.
Yeah.
He was underrated. Big numbers, yeah. Such great, big numbers. No one ever talks about Robbie Anderson as being the stud that he is. I see this offense as Teddy Bridgewater, almost like the Texans, where Teddy Bridgewater was like Deshaun Watson, and DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson are like the 1-2 punch of DeAndre Hopkins and Will Fuller. I see this being a big offense. Whoa. Yes,
DeAndre Hopkins to them.
No. What I'm saying is the DJ Moore to DeAndre Hopkins, Robbie Anderson to Will Fuller. That's the comparison where Teddy Bridgewater has these two amazing weapons, and opening up the offense is Christian McCaffrey to open up the passing game. So I see that happening. I'm a huge fan of Bridgewater, and I see them having a big year this year.
What about you, Georgie? You're the one that puts him way low. Why?
I just kind of look at the fact that he's first year in a new team, and it's a new head coach who's coming from the college ranks. So I like his game. I'm rooting for him as a person because I love the comeback stories, all the injuries that he's had and he's come back from. So I just think I'm tempering my enthusiasm for him just because the fact that even though I like the weapons, I think DJ Moore is a legit, you know, top 10
super
receiver.
Legit. Yep.
You know, I don't know if I put him in with DeAndre Hopkins, but definitely in the next tier. Definitely in the next tier.
No, for a while.
Like, you know, 1A to 1B to kind of like, a poor man's Hopkins and a poor man's Fuller is what I'm saying with DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson. For sure.
He's still fantastic. He gets 1,200 yards. So I'm just tempering my enthusiasm just because everything is new with him and he hasn't been a starter in a while, but I would not be surprised if he had a good year because I think that defense is not going to be very good. So he's going to have to throw the ball some.
And having that
safety valve with Christian McCaffrey being a guy who could get 100 receptions.
Explosive.
Right.
That's just something that, I mean, that's 1,000 yards receiving right there.
A dump off to McCaffrey. There's 50 yards, 40 yards, and that's those are all Teddy B's. Those are all Teddy B's stats right there. So he's gonna stack them up.
And I loved what I saw when I actually picked him up as an injury replacement because I had Drew Brees in a different league, and he played well. He played so well. So I think he's definitely playing two QB leagues, and early on in the season, I think he's another guy who's going to be an undervalued guy in DFS. So he's going to be someone that you keep an eye on. Maybe you spend your money elsewhere. Maybe you spend your money on McCaffrey and go cheap on Bridgewater and hope that you get that connection that day.
Yeah.
So
for sure.
Now, we just finished our top 20. Who do you have outside of the top 20 that could be sneaking their way in or even, knocking down the door and
I feel slightly disrespected that Philip Rivers wasn't mentioned.
It's personal.
I had him as number 15 above all these monkeys, but, hey, Philip Rivers is still getting a good team. I don't know if the wide receivers are better than the Chargers, but he's still getting a pass-heavy team that loves the old guy. So, I don't know. I think Philip Rivers is sneaky. I'd still want him as my backup QB because he can throw for numbers. He can get 300 yards here or there, 2-3 touchdowns a game. And the running game doesn't look too bad. So, I'm a little mad that Philip Rivers wasn't in the 20. What about you guys?
I'm okay with him being there.
I'm okay.
You had him down low.
Yeah. To me, we've talked about, Tom Brady and the age factor. To me, I had Mike Williams last year. I just didn't see Philip Rivers, impressing me in the least. Sorry, Rick. I know you don't want to hear that. But he kind of hurt me a little bit there. He had Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, Hunter Henry, and Philip Rivers just was like out of sorts every time I watched him. He just wasn't comfortable. Just something just was weird that I just didn't see as right in my mind. I mean, that's just my own feeling to how I watched his game last year, and so that's the only reason I put him down low. Do I think he's gonna have a good year this year? I don't doubt it, but we'll see.
It's win-win for me. If he does really well, I'm good. I'm happy for the guy. If he does crappy, that's fantastic.
Well, the thing with and there was definitely a reason why Rivers was not great last year. It was the line just did not protect him. Now he's going to a team that is going to protect him, and one of the top lines in the NFL, and he's going to have a running game, and that's going to help him. I can see him doing well. I had him straight up number 20, and I think I would have had him higher if he would have been still with the Chargers and with a better offensive line. But it is a downgrade a little bit on the receivers, but I think just the fact that he's going to be staying upright, I think that he's going to be a lot better than he was last year. I'm not writing him off.
Right. I think that's another QB outside the top 20 that I'm kind of keeping an eye on is Derek Carr. I mean, the fact that John Gruden is the quarterback, is a QB guy, and I'm just waiting. I think this is finally the year that Derek Carr comes back from the dead, after blowing out that knee, that horrific leg injury that he had. You know, we talk about hearing footsteps like with Baker Mayfield back in the pocket. I think Derek Carr has been dealing with that for the last couple of years since he hurt his leg. Hopefully John Gruden gets his confidence back a little bit, because now he's got Henry Ruggs coming in. He's got Tyrell Williams, Hunter Renfro, Darren Waller, even Jason Witten, who can still catch some balls there. So I think Derek Carr is one to look at this year. I think he'll definitely improve over what he's done the last couple of years. If John Gruden can get inside his head a little bit, build up that confidence, I think Derek Carr, with all the weapons that he has, even Josh Jacobs opening up the offense a little bit, I think Derek Carr is one to watch.
He can be a sneaky pick. I like his weapons. I don't think he's got dominant weapons, but he definitely has a lot of weapons. Waller's dominant, I'll tell you that. But, I mean, I love to hate Derek Carr, but I love to love him, because I had him when I won my championship, and he didn't throw to Crabtree. So that was the perfect double whammy for me on Christmas Day. That was just a memorable, like, I don't even know. It was just the best Christmas I've ever had. But anyways, Georgie, what do you think of Derek Carr?
You know what? I had him the year that he broke his leg. And he was he was an MVP candidate that year.
Yes, he was.
So I think I think the talent is there. He's still young. I don't think he's 30 yet. So he's a guy who's definitely gonna, I think he could play well. I love the fact that he's with an offensive coach who really coaches his quarterback hard. And so I think it's going to be sink or swim. I think he either has a really good season and they're going to do well, especially with all those weapons that they drafted this year, or they're going to move on to Marcus Mariota or draft somebody. They do have a good line too. I think he had a streak there where he had like 3 or 4 games where he didn't get sacked. So I'm a big believer in the offensive line. So you keep that guy upright, I think he'll be fine. One guy that I love the second year quarterbacks. So that's why I'm going to keep an eye on guys like Dwayne Haskins. I'm going to keep an eye on Jarrett Stidham. I think it's curious how they've not added to the quarterbacks other than Brian Hoyer. So that has me thinking that maybe New England likes Stidham more than everybody else does. But a guy that I'm really keeping an eye on is Drew Lock for making that second year jump. He really played well late in the season. They gave him, he's got weapons Cortland Sutton is a legit number one receiver. They added Jerry Jeudy. I think they could be, if he makes that second year jump, the Broncos are going to be a potentially a really good team, and the AFC West could be incredibly competitive.
Yeah, we're waiting for John Elway to finally, pick that guy. We've been waiting for how long now? John Elway, as masterful as he's been on the field, he was just a legit QB on the field. And you think that high QB, high NFL IQ, high football IQ would translate, as a GM. And we've been waiting and waiting for that QB to come along that John Elway, puts in charge of his offense. And, I could see Drew Lock doing it. Melvin Gordon's coming into town. So, to open it up, open up the offense. So I don't disagree. I'm definitely keeping an eye on Drew Lock this year.
We'll see. Because I feel like we don't got enough research on the guy. We don't got enough data. He didn't play all the whole season. So we'll see what's going on. I just hate to love a Bronco. But, I mean, you're talking about Jared Stidham, Dwayne Haskins. We don't have any data on these guys. So I feel like, of course, Georgie, someone who's never had a championship in our league, is going to have these high thoughts and super sleepers.
That was coming.
You never know. They'll come from nowhere.
Thank you, Macho Man.
But, I mean, to me, it's like, what have you done for me lately? I bank on data. So if they've never had it before, I'm not going to think they're going to get it all of a sudden. That's how I think.
And you know what? There's going to be a lot of debate. Yeah. We got two more months until training camp is happening. Two and a half more months. So
how long till our draft?
You tell us, Ricky.
It's three
months.
Labor Day. Every year, the day before Labor Day. So it's September. So
3.5 months.
It's going to be a party. I'll tell you that.
Yes, sir.
It's going to be good. Bueno, everybody. Eso es todo for our show. Find our article. Yeah, find articles with more details on all the QBs, all 32 QBs at FamiliaFFB.com. Next week, we'll talk about the Caballos, the running backs.
Yeah.
That's going to be it. That's a lot of fun, a lot of debates on there. Thanks again to Anchor FM for being our hosting network and making sure our independent podcast gets out to our Familia community. Also, don't forget to find us on Twitter and Instagram at FamiliaFFB, as well as our Facebook page. So, gracias otra vez. And remember, todos somos familia.
Adios, amigos.
Cheers, y'all.